The Her Sports Show, live every Wednesday on YouTube and every podcast app.
Hello and welcome to the Her Sports Show, our weekly show where we bring you the latest news in the world of women's sport. Nasa, it was a very busy weekend in terms of awards. We saw the PWC Camogie All-Stars as well as the SSE Airtricity Women's National League Awards. So lots of people getting commended for the brilliant efforts they've put in this year. I guess starting with PWC Camogie All-Stars, the winners included a lot of players from Kilkenny, which I suppose wasn't that much of a surprise.
Yeah. Obviously, they won the All-Ireland, so you know, it was expected to be that they would dominate it. So I think there was 8 players there that got awards.
And Miriam Walsh won the PWC GPA Senior Player of the Year. So tell us a little bit how the Player of the Year works.
So the Player of the Year is done through the players. So the players vote through the GPA for who wins, which I suppose is really nice because you're being kind of validated by your own players and your own peers. The Intermediate Player of the Year went to Lisa Casserly from Galway and Dervla Cosgrove of Antrim. She won Junior Player of the Year. So a nice spread there.
Yeah, it's definitely great to get that commendation from your peers.
Yeah.
There's the 6th All-Star for Kilkenny's Denise Gall and also for Cork's Katrina Mackey. So a few more to add to their collection. And then in terms of the people that won their first All-Stars this year, we had Aoife Norris, Libby Coppinger, Laura Murphy and Saoirse McCarthy. So great for them to get that recognition. And I'm sure the first one is one of the sweetest ones.
Definitely.
We did some features with some of the players. So we had Grace Walsh, Niamh Rockett and Aisling Marr. So for anyone that wants to tune in, head over to our YouTube channel or to the website where you'll see some of their stories. And as we mentioned, a busy weekend with the SSE Women's National League Awards on as well. Athlone were the surprise package in the Women's National League, I think, this year, taking it all the way to the final game of the season. So maybe underdogs at the start, but certainly pushed people all the way to the end. Deservedly, Emily Corbett was named the Women's National Player of the Year for 2022 after helping her team secure second place in the league and in the race for the Evoke.ie FAI Cup. Then Jessie Stapleton, she plays for Shelburne, double champions, who won the Young Player of the Year, and P-Mate United's Anya O'Gorman won the Golden Boot. So there's some news about Anya O'Gorman this week.
Yeah, so she's moving now to Shamrock Rovers. So they're now setting up their new senior women's team next year. So she signed over to them now. And I suppose Rovers are one of the biggest clubs in Ireland. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that develops and how they get on in next year.
Yeah, no, it is really interesting and something that we want to see like year on year is the growth of the Women's National League and that excitement building. And as you said, like the kind of resource that's in the club, it'll be interesting to see how there's a bit of a shake-up. And what's the update in Gaelic football this week?
Yeah, so this weekend was All-Ireland Club semi-finals, so it was really, really big weekend. Dunamoyne, they are going to face Kilcairn, Clonbrain and Galway, who won last year in the senior club final now after this weekend. So Kilcairn and Clonbrain, they were playing Ballymacarbery of Waterford, and they won 2-10 So maybe not as competitive as we thought maybe in that one. And Dunamoyne then defeated Kilmaco Crokes, 1-11 there in that action. So one of the players then, she arrived by helicopter. Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I saw a couple of the videos. So it was Katrina McConnell. So she scored 7 in the game after arriving in a helicopter. So for anyone that hasn't seen the video, she had just gotten married the day before.
Yeah, so Katrina, she also had a stormer of a game after arriving in style like that. So she scored 7 in the game. So last year, Kilcairn and Clonbrain, they obviously won, so they're going to be looking to be back-to-back All-Ireland champions this year. Dunamoyne then, the last time that they were in it was in 2016 and they won it that year, so they won 2015 and 2016, so they'll be looking to get back on top. So it'll definitely be a really exciting final. The final is going to be played in Croke Park, so that's on December 10th at 5:00. Just after the intermediate final, which is on a 3 between Longford Slashers and Mullaghone after this weekend. And the junior final is going to be on the Sunday at locations to be confirmed there, but it's going to be between Salton and Lochbacar and Avonbomb. So yeah, best of luck to all those teams. It'll be good.
Yeah, no, definitely looking forward to those games. It'll be exciting as we see who takes on the win. So over in boxing, at the World Youth Boxing Championships, we have obviously had some success. We had Tina Darcy has won the heavyweight gold for Ireland at the World Youth Boxing Championships in La Nucia in Spain after taking win against India's Curtie. The lightweight Dervla Tinley and light middleweight Laura Morin will both take home bronze. So really, really good performance from them. We're seeing continued success in women's boxing in Ireland. So congratulations to them. They, you know, obviously have lots of, they have lots of role models there leading the way. So we can see the value of having role models as the younger athletes are you know, coming through on the world stage.
Absolutely. Over in AFLW then, we also obviously had the grand final was on. And Sinéad Goldrick, she became the first All-Ireland lady senior football winner to also win an AFLW Premiership with the Melbourne Demons, who defeated the Brisbane Lions in the final.
I was looking at her medal tally and it's something that's very impressive. Yeah. She has 4 senior All-Irelands, 9 Leinster titles, 7 All-Stars. She has 3 medals in the National Football League and now she has 1 Premiership medal. So a very impressive tally for her.
Absolutely amazing. And her teammate, Blohi Mackin, was also on the team. So she's she played for Armagh and she scored a goal in the second quarter of the final. So a fitting end to her debut season as well. So she's definitely one to look out for. Orla O'Dwyer of Tipperary, and she was left disappointed, obviously on the runners-up Brisbane Lions side. But she did make her mark in the game with 11 disposals, 2 marks and 6 tackles for the Lions. So good stuff for her.
Good results for the Irish players over there always. And great to see Blaheen's off to a good start as she makes her debut. In other football news, Ani Kinsella, she's a former Carlow footballer. She's after becoming the assistant coach for the men's Wexford senior football team. So this is the highest level of hands-on coaching role that a woman has held in the men's game so far. So she's certainly breaking the glass ceiling and you know, such a role model for other women that want to be involved in coaching at the highest level. Her sister Marie is actually on the GPA National Executive Committee as the co-chairperson. So you know, another one in the family working hard to level the playing field.
Definitely. And I saw a coaching survey revealed earlier this year that 80% of coaches involved in all the calls of GAA are male. But female faces are becoming more visible, and I think this is a really, really good step in the right direction.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting to see how things develop over the coming years. Over in golf, Leona Maguire finished off the season with 4th place in the Andalusia Costa del Sol Open in Spain, 2 shots out of a playoff. So she's on form at the moment, really playing well.
Absolutely, yeah. And over in basketball then, there was a great display by the Irish basketball team, but a really, really sore loss for them. And your heart would go out to them after they had a painful loss to the Netherlands on Sunday in the FIBA Women's EuroBasket 2023. The final score there was 59-56. But you know what, in other way to look at it, is it's a team that they lost about 22 points a year ago. So, you know, they've obviously come on a lot since then. So
yeah, no, definitely like a really good improvement since last year. And I think, you know, they came out in the first half, they were really strong, they were actually winning. So I think it was kind of the last quarter maybe that they let it slip out of their hands. So as I said, I think it's a learning curve, and hopefully next time they'll overcome them, or they're getting closer and closer. So I think a good result for the basketball team. Did you see the story in the US? So Olivia Pichardo, she's an 18-year-old baseball player, and she's become the first woman to be named on a D1 baseball team this week after a walk-on tryout at Brown. So there's been a couple of other female baseball players, but she's the first one to play in the NCAA Division 1. And she said that a lot of people have kind of suggested, like, would you go and play softball, and like, how come you're playing baseball? And it's great to see that she stuck to her guns and she's breaking the mold, I suppose, for female players. And hopefully we'll see some more female baseball players over the next couple of years. But you know, another interesting story, people breaking the mold around the world. So who did we catch up this week for the rest of the Her Sports Show?
So I caught up with Katrina Jennings before her JFK 50 mile, which she's now, you know, she's come second in that. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up, and yeah, had great chats with her about running, taking up a bit of a rowing and all the sorts. So
would you ever do 50 miles?
Absolutely not. Would you?
Yeah, I don't think I could make it. It's no. So far, but she's very impressive. Like, you know, watching her do ultramarathon over the last the last couple of years has been very, very impressive. And she always seems to be on the podium, so really looking forward to checking out that chat. So stay tuned for anybody who wants to hear that interview with Katrina Jennings. And that's it for the Her Sport Roundup this week.
So hi, Katrina, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today. I suppose to start off, could I just ask maybe what are your kind of earliest memories of sport yourself?
So I think my earliest memories are probably when I was swimming as a very young child, probably I think the age of maybe 5 or 6. I was a member of Swilly Seal Swimming Club in Letterkenny, and I remember I really wanted my 10 metre badge. So I actually still remember to this day getting the badge where I was able to do not even a length of the pool, I guess a width of the pool, and got a little black badge. So that was my first, I think that was my first ever like award of any description. And then I was determined to kind of build the badges, because every badge that was a longer distance, a different colour. And yeah, it was a pretty nice way to start, I guess.
Absolutely. And so kind of swimming was like your first foray into sport. Did you kind of do any other sports then when you were younger? Did you kind of, were you one of those kids that gave everything a go, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Swimming was kind of like the first sport, and it was always the consistent one where I would have competed as a junior at like county and provincial level, and wanted to make it to community games in Mosny. So that was kind of, swimming was kind of the first. But then I also did some running with the school and the local track, and then cycling, but every sport as well. Like, I mean, I played basketball, badminton, volleyball for a while, even camogie and things that I was terrible at, but it was anything that involved sport of any description, it was all good to go.
And then with regards to the running, then how did you kind of get into running? Was there kind of runners in your family, or was it just a local club?
It was the local club, I guess. And then my school as well. My sports teacher was very, she was adamant that she wanted to get a good cross-country team out for the school. And at the time, everyone wanted to get onto the basketball team, but she would only let you onto the basketball team if you agreed to run for the school. So it was pretty good. Way of, I guess, making sure people were turning out on the day. But yeah, so kind of got involved that way. But actually, I started doing triathlons at about like kind of as a young teenager, around the age of 13 or 14. So that was really my love at the time. I absolutely love triathlons. And I really only ran during that time for the run leg of the triathlon. But when I went to college and moved to Dublin later, I kind of just focused on running because it was always my favourite of the three disciplines. And I guess I joined a club in Dublin and it went from there.
And when did you run your first marathon?
I ran the Dublin Marathon in October 2011. So I think it was really the big race that all the girls that wanted to qualify for the Olympics lined up for, because at the time there was an agreement between Athletics Ireland and the Dublin Marathon that the first Irish girl across the line would be automatically selected, provided she had the qualifying time for the Olympics. So everyone was kind of vying for that title at the time.
And in the past, you've kind of spoken about, you know, how tough the London Marathon in particular, that Olympics was for you. How do you kind of pick yourself up after kind of maybe a disappointment like that?
For me, I think I just wanted to immediately focus on the next challenge or the next event. And to be fair, I think it probably wasn't exactly the right attitude, but for me, as long as I was focusing on something else, I wasn't thinking about that. But as a result, I kind of threw myself into training really like with so much gusto that I ended up getting injured again quite badly. So it forced me to stop and reevaluate. And then I at the time had to decide, you know, how was I going to get better? How I was going to get healthy again? And, you know, what was I going to do to recover both physically and mentally from the experience? So I turned to rowing for a while. My older sister, Sinead, is, you know, obviously a fantastic rower. She was world champion and was looking for a partner for the Olympics at the time. She was focusing on trying to qualify for Rio in 2016. So I thought I'd, you know, maybe throw my hat in the ring and see how I fared rowing, but definitely not as good as I was at running, unfortunately.
Well, So obviously your sister Sinead, just for anyone that doesn't know, she competed in the Rio 2016 Olympics in the lightweight women's double sculls. And like to have two Olympians in one household is fairly special and incredible. Is that something that kind of makes your family extremely proud?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're all very proud. And I personally, you know, have to say hats off to my parents that, you know, they were able to kind of encourage and instill that the competitiveness, but also the love for sport within both myself and my two sisters. And yeah, I mean, the fact that two of us made it to the Olympics, the pinnacle of the sport, is really, truly something very special and something I'm very proud of, yeah.
And just speaking on the rowing that you were doing, can you talk to us a bit about that and how, you know, kind of throwing yourself into a different sport, kind of like adapting, how that was?
Yeah, sure. So I think I decided to go with rowing because for two reasons. Well, firstly, my sister. But secondly, I was suffering from, I had a stress fracture in both my feet at the time, and my bone density had just dropped way down just because of the heavy training. So one of the few things you can do to increase bone density is actually to do weights. And weight training is a big part of rowing because you need to be strong as well as being cardiovascularly fit. So, yeah, and although it is a short distance, it's like probably a 7-minute race. It would be regarded as an endurance sport. So, you know, theoretically, I'd have the background physiologically anyway to, you know, to be in a position where I could, you know, try to transfer. So like transferring across was hard because rowing is also very technical, and it is hard to go from a sport where you're, you know, performing at quite a high level to basically being a novice again overnight. But it also gives you quite a bit of, I guess, you know, short-term goals that are quite not easy to achieve, but certainly, you know, you see quite a lot of short-term gain and or you know sorry quick gains in a short time, because you're kind of focused on, you know, smaller challenges rather than the overall like ultimate goal. I think where I may have fallen down a bit in hindsight is I was doing it with the huge ambition of trying to qualify for the Olympics before I could even run or before I could even row. So I was kind of trying to run before I could walk. But I think the advantages of, you know, having that, having the fitness, having the engine and having the work ethic from another sport certainly were good to transfer across to rowing.
Do you think that's kind of like a massive part to do as well with maybe your personality, that you're kind of like, if you're going to do something, you want to kind of, you're really motivated to get to the top kind of?
Yeah, possibly. I guess I didn't really want to just do it. It sounds terrible, but I didn't want to just do it for fun. Yeah. I wanted to actually get something like pretty big out of it. But then you see, this is the other argument. I mean, you will only really succeed at something that is fun and that you are really enjoying. And I know myself, and maybe I'm a bit more philosophical in the later years, but I think that one of the reasons that I think I'm doing so well in running now is that I absolutely love it. It's an absolute passion. I don't think of it as a chore, and I'm not going out running every day purely with the ambition of, you know, the ultimate goal or the titles or the records. It's actually just for the love of the sport and the love of the journey, you know, to get there. So I think that's a really key component of training, is just to make sure that, to keep it fun and to keep that, you know, enjoyment in it, because it's more likely to lead to success at the end of the day.
Definitely, yeah. And kind of, what is it that you like would love about running? Like, what's your favorite thing about running?
I think it's the freedom. I think it's the headspace that it gives you, and just the, I mean, obviously people talk about the runner's high, but I think, you know, after a busy day in work, if I'm stressed about something, if I'm finding it, you know, that I'm feeling just, I don't know, I can't even describe it, but say certainly maybe a little bit overwhelmed about the something that had happened in work that day, or the, you know, that I need to get through, I think going for a run can really just release all that any sort of stress or tension. And funnily enough, you know, if there's a problem that you're thinking about, by the time you finish your run, you're more than likely going to have a solution to it, because I think it just enables your mind to stop focusing so vividly on something, and, you know, actually lets it try and think of solutions. But yes, it's the freedom, I think, of running that I really enjoy.
Definitely. And you're based over in Singapore right now, is that correct?
Yes, I'm still living in Hong Kong, but I'm moving to Singapore. So I'm actually in Singapore right now, and I am traveling to the US tonight, as it turns out. I'm to do another race there next weekend. So I'm packing them in at the moment.
Brilliant. What race is that now that you're going to be competing in?
It's JFK 50 mile. It's one of the oldest ultra runs in the US. And it's 60th anniversary this year. Has a pretty good track record, and it's a very famous race in the US. So it's one that I've looked at for a while, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to run in it this year.
Amazing. And speaking on Hong Kong as well, you know, you came third in the marathon last year, and, you know, being based over there, I can imagine it's much different kind of climate to what we're used to here. So, like, how has that kind of changed your training, I suppose?
Yeah, it's definitely much tougher. It's especially during the summer. At this time of year, it's lovely because it's not too hot or humid, but during the summer, the temperature is around 36, 37 degrees with 90% humidity. So it feels like it can be anywhere from 42 degrees up. So it is, it is pretty hot and difficult to train in. But people call it the poor man's altitude training, because it's, it has that effect on your body where you're working harder to get the blood or the oxygen to your muscles. So I actually think that it has benefited me in that maybe I get more bang for my buck when I'm doing an hour's training. It probably is more, but like, maybe I don't know exactly how it would translate, but it's certainly more beneficial than an hour running in Ireland. So when you're trying to fit it into a busy day, it's good to get, you know, more value than the time you're spending.
Absolutely. And you also claimed the gold in the IAAU 50km European Championships in Spain just last month, so congrats on that. Can you tell us a bit about that race and how that felt, getting that gold?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very special day. It was an unbelievable feeling to cross the line in first place and get the gold. It was also the inaugural 50k championship, so that kind of made it a bit sweeter as well. It was a 5k loop. It was a 10, the course was set on a 5k loop, so it was 10 laps. And I went out to run it on the day before just to get an idea of what the course was like, and realized it was actually way hillier than I realized. So I initially panicked and then thought, actually, this is going to play to my advantage, because I knew I had the endurance and a lot of the other girls in the race were coming off, you know, pretty fast marathon times, faster than my PB. So I was concerned about them. But when I saw that the course was hilly, I realized, yeah, it would play to my advantage, because it would become more of a true tactical race than, you know, a kind of a fast time trial type run. So I went out fairly conservatively, knowing that the course was going to start to bite later in the race, and also the forecast was for the day to get a little bit hotter as it went on, so I knew that would also affect the overall results. So as it turned out, there was a group of about 8 or 9 girls running together for the first maybe 30k. There were 3 girls out ahead, but and that was a difficult decision for me to decide whether to go after the girls up in front or to sit with the group. So I ultimately just made a call that I would stay with the group for at least the first half and see how we were going. But we did, I mean, the group was working well together, and we did manage to pick off the girl that was in third and in second by the 30k mark. So there was only one girl out ahead leading into the last few laps, and myself and one of the British girls actually made a little bit of a break, and the two of us worked together for a while to catch the leader. But ultimately it was a race of many decisions, and I think just by
by luck or maybe good tactical thinking, they did seem to pay off for me on the day, and it just worked really well. It was one of those perfect days where I think everything just fell into place.
No, absolutely, and it did work, because in almost 1 minute gap in the field heading into the final 5K, what's kind of like your mental dialogue like when you're heading into this crucial stage?
So the final 5K, I was so happy starting the last lap, because I knew once I got to that stage, I had more than likely had it in the bag, you know, barring some terrible mishap, because I knew I had loads left in the tank and I knew it was only one lap left to go. So I looked at the clock actually passing the you know, just as I was starting the last lap, and I was able to calculate very quickly that if I could run the last 5K in under 20 minutes, I'd have a new Irish record. So that was kind of what I was going for on the last lap. I was like, right, well, let's just try and you know, see what I can do on this last lap and secure the win and see if I can, you know, achieve the record as well to make it all the sweeter.
Absolutely. And I suppose in terms of a marathon, when do you kind of think at what stage the marathon can be won or lost? Like, is there a particular stage that you think that it's time to kind of up a gear?
So I think with the marathon, it can be won or lost at any point. And I know that's a very vague answer, but, you know, it can literally be lost in the first couple of miles if you go out too hard. It can be lost in the middle stage, if you kind of feel, oh, this is really comfortable, I'll push on, and you push on too hard. I mean, one of the things I do love about the marathon and 50K as well is that it's as much mental decision-making process as well as it is physical, because you have to be so careful throughout the entire thing that you don't, you know, you have a finite amount of energy that you need to effectively try and, you know, set or like use in a very efficient manner right up until the end. And if you mess it up, you will pay for it, there's no doubt. So it is quite a skill to get it right, and that's why I think it's all the sweeter when it does, on those days when it does pay off and you do get it right, because I've had plenty where it doesn't, and it can be tough out there if you get it wrong.
And I suppose in terms of kind of preparation then, like, How would you say you kind of prepare, not just physically, I suppose, but mentally as well, and also, you know, fueling your body and how important that is?
So preparation from a mental perspective, I guess, what I try and do is remind myself why I'm doing it, because I enjoy it, and I do try and take the pressure off rather than focusing too much. I mean, yes, I have very clear goals of where I want to, you know, end, and I generally, you know, obviously want to get the best I can out of myself and try and get a podium position if I think it's available. But at the same time, you do try and just take that pressure off as much as you can before the start, because you don't want to waste energy on the lead up to the race. And the nutrition side of things, I think I've probably nailed pretty well at this stage, and I know what works for me. So I just kind of continue to use the same nutrition strategy. I will change it depending on the weather, though. Sometimes if it's going to be a very hot day, I'll make sure that I'm adding in additional fluids, because your performance can be quite badly affected by even, you know, smallest amount of dehydration. So yeah, I know it works for me. Tailwind, the endurance drinks work for me really well, and you know, luckily in races like the 50K or usually in marathons, I'll be able to put in my pre-made drinks, so you know, I know I'm getting the sports drinks that work for me.
And I suppose, looking back on your career so far, what kind of stands out as, you know, maybe the biggest highlight?
Well, definitely the Olympics. I think it was, you know, or qualifying for the Olympics anyhow, it was an absolute dream come true, and something that, you know, was very, very special to make it there. But I think some of my performances more recently can possibly challenge that now as well. Winning the 50K Europeans was very, very special. Also finishing third in the World Championships 100K during the summer was a highlight as well. And I think finishing third in Comrades Marathon in 2019 in South Africa was probably one of the highlights as well, I have to say.
Definitely. And just kind of, what are your kind of thoughts on like the visibility maybe and exposure of kind of women in sport today, maybe compared to when, you know, you started off in sport?
I mean, I think as a general population, I mean, particularly in Ireland, I think everyone is so much fitter. People are like, everyone is running, cycling, you know, they understand the importance of exercise and the importance of being physically fit. So, you know, I think it's come on leaps and bounds, and there's been a lot of positive media coverage of it as well. I mean, I guess, you know, we'd always have had coverage of GA and rugby and soccer and, you know, the big sports. But I think that that the minority sports are getting a lot more coverage now too. And RTE have been fantastic covering the minority sports. They've done, they cover most of the major athletics championships, the rowing championships, all the, the sports that, you know, traditionally wouldn't have had as much time. But I also think that the, you know, there's definitely an appetite on the viewing audience that people want to see these events. So, you know, it's great that there is that forum to show it and, you know, give it the coverage that it deserves.
And I suppose what would be kind of maybe your advice to younger girls that are considering getting involved in sport, but maybe they're a little unsure as to where to begin?
I'd say, you know, sport is the most special thing that I can imagine that, you know, you should get involved in. And I would personally say it's equally as important as school and education, because it can just offer so many things. It gives you so many opportunities to meet friends, to, you know, travel to competitions in different places, to even just from a personal perspective, you know, it's a really fun thing to be involved in. And if you find the sport you love, you will really get so much out of it. So I think, you know, there's lots of local clubs in Ireland. In every town and village there are athletics clubs, swimming clubs, you know, gymnastics, any sort of sport that you're interested in. And I'd also say just try everything and see what it is that you do like, because, you know, that's the only way to find out.
Katrina, thank you so much for taking time to speak to us. And it was lovely to meet you.
You too, Ness. I'm sorry about the background noise again.
And best of luck over in America. We'll be watching out. That sounds great.
Great. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
The Her Sports Show. Live every Wednesday on YouTube and every podcast app.